A man so professional, he wears a suit to a radio interview. He's 10 TV's Dave Holmes.
He's our guy, and he's on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline, doing it in the rain. We got roofs over our head. It's fine. Imagine just standing outside and trying to do radio and pouring down rain. Would we get electrocuted, or would this stuff survive? I don't even know.
Or are you asking? Who are you asking about that?
I'm myself, or talking. Dave? Yeah, I have nothing. So, Dave, with Justin Fields getting ready to be drafted, I'm going to make my final statements on him in the next segment. But just if you go back to everything that has gone on, everything that has been said, how are you left feeling night before the draft about our guy, our QB?
You know, I think, yes, the process has been unfair to Justin Fields. And this is what happens in the draft. The longer you're on top, the more time they have to pick you apart, look for reasons, teams release smoke screens. I don't think he's going to go as high as he should go. I think he should go 3 to San Francisco. I don't think he's going to. I think it's crazy that, you know, I don't know what kind of NFL quarterback Mac Jones will be. And the best scouts and the best people, GMs, they probably hit draft picks, what, 60% of the time? It's a coin toss at best. So I'm not going to pretend like I can project Justin Fields' pro career, because I honestly can't. But I will say this. If you put me in a room and you have Mac Jones and Justin Fields and say, which one do you think you might regret drafting in 10 years, it's not even a debate in my head. So for me, I will take the upside of Fields every single time and gamble on that. I think he should go 3, but I don't think he will.
Dave Holmes, our guest. Follow him on Twitter at Dave Holmes TV. Dave, are you going to Cleveland for the draft tomorrow night, or are you in there now?
I will be up there tomorrow night, yep.
So Fields will be gone Thursday night. So by Friday, we'll be looking at Fields on this NFL team. I think the three of us can agree on that. Tim and I had a little bit of fun in the first segment of the show trying to figure out who the second Buckeye drafted would be. If you could just take the guess right now, I'm asking you, just throw a dart at the dartboard. Who's the second Buckeye going off the board?
I know most people think it'll probably be a linebacker. For some reason, I think someone's going to fall in love with Wyatt Davis. That's definitely not a chalk pick to be the second Buckeye taken. But for some reason, I think Wyatt Davis is going to sneak into the second round. I think most people would probably take Baron Browning or Pete Werner there. But give me Wyatt Davis as the second Buckeye taken.
Dave, you mentioned you're going up there. I was just curious, like, how high is an NFL draft on your list of things to cover? It's not a game, we know that, but it's such a huge spectacle. And what kind of things have they told you, just access for the medium, what you're going to be able to get to do, interviewing players, that sort of thing?
Yeah, it's going to be all virtual on the interview front, which is probably the case for most of 2021. I'm hoping we can have a normal football season this fall. As far as coverage stuff, they're going to let us be there in the theater until 6 o'clock. Then they kick you out. We'll probably go over to First Energy at that point and set up shop there. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, there are only a few events, really, that I haven't gotten to cover that I wanted to check off the list, and this is one of them. And, you know, the fact that it's in Cleveland, it's funny because we all assumed the Browns would have a top 5 pick. They finally get the draft, and here they are picking 26th. But,
yeah,
you know, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a cool spectacle. The stage looks great right there on the shores of the lake. So, yeah, I'm kind of pumped to go up there. It's something I've never covered and always wanted to.
They had to have a first-round pick. That's all that you needed, with the big day being Thursday. They got one. It's actually kind of cool that they're picking late in the first round, which means they did something in the postseason. Don't you also like how they started rotating this? Radio City Music Hall was all great in New York, but there's so many other great football cities in this country. That's why the NFL works so well. I'm pleased that they started to travel with this event.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because when you host something every single year, sometimes you take it for granted a little bit. And I think every year when it goes to a new city, it's the biggest thing in that town. It's very much like a Super Bowl or a Final Four, where they spend a few years getting ready for it and getting hyped for it. So, yeah, I think it's a good move to get some of these other fan bases involved, because one of the best things about the NFL is the parity and the rabid fan bases. Every single fan base thinks they have a chance to win a Super Bowl. And I think it's the only sport where that's the case. I don't think every baseball team or basketball team certainly thinks they have a shot. In fact, it's quite the opposite. But the NFL, you see it all the time where, you know, look at the Buccaneers right there. I mean, you see a team go from 6-10 to a Super Bowl champion. That happens pretty regularly, and vice versa, where you see a team lose a Super Bowl and not even make the playoffs the next year. So I think it's good to get out there and kind of explore these cities and let some of these fan bases have their moment in the sun.
Dave Holmes, our guest here on the Buckeye Show, courtesy of the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. He'll be live to boo Commissioner Goodell tomorrow from First Energy Stadium, which we've all missed because he did it in his basement last year, and booing at the TV is a lot different than booing him live.
I still did it, though.
Dave, did you boo the commissioner last year?
No, I don't verbally boo Roger Goodell, but I'm not a Goodell fan. So I shoot him a glare, if that counts for anything. Give him a good look.
I go back to the quarterbacks real quick, because I think that you said about 60% the NFL success rate in hitting on first-round draft picks. It's probably a lot lower in terms of NFL teams hitting on quarterbacks that they take in the first round. But if everything, kind of what I'm here or what I've read from The Athletic, was that the Patriots are talking to the Falcons about going up to 4 to get Justin Fields if he's still available for them. So it's 4 quarterbacks in picks 1 through 4. And they were saying earlier today, or on Twitter, I was reading that this could be the first time in 40 years that a defender is taken outside of the top 10. Do you think that I guess the question that I wanted to ask is, why are NFL teams so fixated on taking a quarterback that early as opposed to just the best player available, if the success rate isn't as good as it should be? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the most important position in all of sports. I mean, NHL goaltender is a close second, but it's the most important position. And I think when teams look at NFL champs, yeah, we can name Brad Johnson and Trent Dilfer, and that's pretty much the list as far as the last 20 to 25 years of regular dudes winning Super Bowls. So I think teams understand that. I think you're seeing more emphasis on some of these playmakers because the rules keep shifting to help the offense. We all think the Bengals will take Ja'Marr Chase at number 5. I think you see more people trying to get playmakers high. I think Fields ends up, to me, he's either a Carolina Panther or a New England Patriot. I think those are the two spots. I think if Carolina holds at 8, that's where he ends up going. I do think the Patriots try to move up. I don't know if they'll go all the way up to 4. I could see him going to 7 more likely with the Lions. But then the question is, do the Panthers let that happen? Do the Panthers start sweating and say, we got to jump up to 5 or 6 to get him? So this is the thing about the NFL draft. And we touched on this a little bit last week, where it doesn't matter if 29 teams hate you. As long as 2 or 3 teams like you, Justin Fields is going to get very rich. And I think the Panthers or the Patriots are the landing spot. I think for his sake, I'd rather him go to the Patriots just for the stability of the franchise. And I think he'd be good to play under Cam Newton for a year and kind of see a guy who's had success in the league. But I think those are the two teams. So I think we might see a little trade battle going between Carolina and New England this time tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's interesting. And just because Denver makes the move to get a Teddy Bridgewater, it's just like Carolina getting Sam Darnold and then Teddy leaves. It doesn't mean they're teams that are not interested in taking what could be a future franchise quarterback early in the first round. Dave Holmes is with us. We'll let you run on this, man. And we're excited for tomorrow and all the draft coverage. And we're going to have our virtual draft party presented by Pepsi Zero right here at 971thefan.com, because it's virtual. You won't be hearing that on the radio. You'll get to see our faces and everything. And Dave's going to be a part of it, Dom, and all your fan personalities. So that'll be cool. Who would be your middle round delight? Like you mentioned, you think Wyatt Davis might be the second one off the board, but there's a lot of meat with these Buckeyes in that second, third, fourth, maybe fifth round. Who's the guy that you're just really excited to see what he becomes in the league?
Okay, I'll give you my guy is Tommy Togiai. He's my guy.
Yeah.
I think if he goes in round 3, he's an absolute steal. I think he's a guy who could be a potential round 1 talent that you get in round 3. So whoever drafts Tommy Togiai, I think, ends up looking smart. And the other guy, I'll hedge a little bit with a second name, who I just think is going to go too low, is Trey Sermon. And I totally understand why running backs don't go high in the league. It's by far the easiest replace position. They burn out by age 28. I get it. But I think whoever takes Trey Sermon in round 3 or 4 ends up getting the guy with not a ton of tread on his tires. He's going to be older by NFL draft standards, but young as far as mileage for a running back. So I think he's a guy. But my main guy, though, Tommy Togiai, I think is a first-round possible talent you're going to get in round 3.
All right. You've been consistent with Togiai, too, the strong man. You've said that a time or two.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
If he came back this year and played, he's a top 25 pick.
Yeah.
That's all it is. He doesn't have enough tape on him. But if he came back, I think he's a first-rounder next year.
And you had said that hurt you the most as sort of a Buckeye fan slash guy who covers the team when he left early. And a lot of people felt that. Dave, special suit for tomorrow? Anything fun planned? No Velcro shoes. Not for tomorrow.
No. Tell you what, text me a request. You give me a tie color or something, I'll make it happen.
Really?
No, not really.
Oh, come on. I'm gonna give you a good color tone. We're gonna come up with that in the last segment.
Good.
We'll see if the color that I text you next segment is in your wardrobe already, or if you would have to go out and hit up the men's warehouse. But sounds good. Dave, we'll talk to you tomorrow, okay?
Yep, see you guys.